This is the Spiritual Bazaar. Welcome back. I'm A, and you're listening to an anonymous audio cast by someone on the road to recovery while exploring spiritual paths and the mystery of life. Today I'd like to talk about depression and a little love. I'll start off by reading the journal entry from my second day at rehab. Day 2. I feel like a loser. I've lost my way. I am a loser. And I've lost possibly the one great love of my life. And the truth is, over the years, I have destroyed us both. I'm filled with guilt as I am here with support. Other addicts on a beautiful property where I'm steeped in the serenity of nature, while she is stuck by herself in a tiny apartment with few to talk to. Her friends push her to leave me, and I can't blame them. How many chances do I deserve as she falls apart, her life passing by unfulfilled? She is angry, probably depressed, and can't see a future for herself if she is with me. I don't know how to make her happy, how to make her better. We have a deep love for each other, but it may not be enough to give us a long and happy life together. I'm ashamed every time I hear of people who essentially tell her I'm a waste and she needs to leave me. If there is any chance of us finding our bliss, it is only in my discovering my defects and how to change, adapt, learn to be a rock and not be easily shaken. I'm trying to listen, not just to the precepts and steps provided by the program, but to the people around me and her. I'm going through the motions and hoping that surrender and clarity that I hear often talked about finds me. I still don't trust my own mind. I'm asking, no, begging my HP, higher power, to help remove the obsession to use. I want to see with different eyes. So since I've been back from rehab, I can't really say I'm depressed, thoroughly depressed, as of this, I guess about a week and a half, 2 weeks now. But I do have these little spells of depression. And it's because 45 days ago when I wrote that, I was asking and hoping and praying and meditating on and thinking about and putting the intention out there to not have any urges anymore. They call it the obsession. And what everyone strives for in recovery is the lifting of the obsession, like this sort of miracle where you just feel lighter and it's gone. You don't have the urges anymore. Well, on a daily basis, am I obsessed with going back out and using again? No. But do I have urges multiple times during the day, small urges in the form of flashbacks and, you know, sort of mini reenactments in my head? Yeah. Yeah, and it really is pissing me off because I don't want that. I don't want that. And every time it happens, I feel a little bit depressed. Every time. Granted, it does dissipate. It could be 30 seconds, it could be a few minutes. But then I have this lingering sadness that comes from those fleeting or, you know, couple minute thoughts. You know, and my first reaction really is anger. And then it kind of turns into depression because I just don't want this anymore. I am sick and tired of it. And I'm feeling better in so many other ways. But this thing, it's not let go yet, not completely. And for some people, you hear this sort of miracle happening within days or weeks. Some people it takes months. And I'm guessing I'm one of those people. Because around month two, and it hasn't relented yet. But I'm hopeful. So I will keep my intentions on clearing the obsession. And obsession is a really strong word, so I don't want to give the impression that it's something that I'm feeling constantly all day. But the fact that the thoughts do pop up several times a day is frustrating. I hear from other people in the program that, on occasion, you're going to have a fleeting thought like, oh, that would be nice to have a glass of wine right now, and then you move on. But there's a difference between that and when you think about something and you spend more than a few seconds thinking about it and you start getting this feeling, even your heart will start racing. Well, my heart will start racing just a little bit, and just for a short time, but it's like my body saying, come on, give me what I need. And I'm not going to give it what it needs, at least not for today. Here's a definition of depression. Two definitions. A state of feeling sad. A psychoneurotic or psychotic disorder marked especially by sadness, inactivity, difficulty in thinking and concentration, a significant increase or decrease in appetite, and time spent sleeping, feelings of dejection and hopelessness, and sometimes suicidal tendencies. A reduction in activity, amount, quality, or force. A lowering of vitality or functional activity. Leading up to my relapse, I felt a lot of these things. I really did. Did I ever actually have suicidal tendencies? No, but have I had the thought that the pain, the remorse and the shame was so heavy that I thought, wow, if I just ended it, then I wouldn't have to feel that and I wouldn't have to continue to harm other people. But these thoughts were not. I knew when I had those passing thoughts that I'm not going to take my own life. It's not going to happen. But just the flirtation with it almost allows you to have a sort of relief. It takes away, just for that moment, you imagine the pressure that you put on yourself and the pressure that you think everyone is putting on you to clean up and get your act together. That passing thought gives you some relief. But it doesn't last long. And I know in my heart that that's not the solution for me. It's just not. But the fact that I had those thoughts is scary. Am I suicidal now? Absolutely not. Could you ever actually call me suicidal? No. But my version of depression included everything I just read. And that ties in completely with my obsessive compulsive way of approaching anything I did, because I had this one extreme side that's just completely lazy, depressed, wants to be inactive, wants to do nothing but sleep or veg out and watch, Netflix. Nothing against Netflix, because I still love Netflix. Inability to concentrate. Yeah, absolutely. That fog that's in your head. Yeah. Do I have that now? A little bit. it comes and goes again, sort of in tandem with, you know, those flashbacks that I get from what I was using. Reduction in activity. Well, I keep trying to get myself to go back to the gym and exercise or run or stop smoking. So in that sense, I still have that for sure. I'm having a really hard time with that. Because I really want to be healthy. And I know that when I exercise and when I take care of my health, I feel better. My endorphins are higher. I can concentrate better. No doubt. So that's something that I really need to work on. And I have to do. It's not, I can't just sit here and talk about it. Talking about it helps. It's good. That's great. But if I don't do something, I just don't know what the outcome is going to be for me. So I need to do everything I can for my own survival. Because it is life or death. There's no half measure. There's no in between. So one thing at a time. But I have to do one thing at a time. I'm not going to do everything all at once, but one thing at a time. I still have not gotten into a habit of meditation. So those two things, one, that mental spiritual exercise, and then the physical exercise, those two things I know for myself are really important for me. Because when I do those things, I feel better. I wonder how many people actually feel depressed when they're using, and compare that to when they're depressed when they're not using, and which is worse. For me, the depression when I'm not using ends up leading to me using anyway. But it is a state of depression and anxiety. Whereas when I've been using, when I'm actually in that high state, I'm not depressed. I'm not feeling depressed. I'm so checked out and disconnected that it's, I think there's an inability for me to even to be depressed. But when I'm coming down from that high, it is the most intense depression ever. And this last relapse was the worst. And I don't ever want to feel that again. I hope that no one out there ever has to feel that way. If you're listening and you're just starting to use, or you notice any signs of abuse or escapism, not escapism in the sense, oh, I'm going to put on TV and just, you know, check out for a little while because I'm, you know, stressed from my job. No, I'm talking about escapism where everything is so hard. You're so hard on yourself, and there's so much shame and a lack of ability to see any hope or feel any hope. If you're getting into those beginning stages, man, I beg you, reach out to somebody and talk about it. Because if you think you're feeling depressed now, once you start using that cycle, it's just a snowball, and it keeps going and going and going, and it gets worse every time. And for me, I've had long periods of what I won't call sobriety, but I'll call drunk, something along those lines. Then you jump back in after long periods of not using. And just like you hear in the rooms, it's a progressive disease. The train just keeps going. You thought you got off, but once you start using again, the train's going faster, and it's way further along than you could have expected. And that's not just in the actual using of the substance. That is true. But your psychological disease which is in tandem with the physical disease that you have in your brain, is 1,000 times worse every time for me. Some people will tackle depression in different ways. I tried years ago, it was Zoloft, and it didn't feel right. It was my early stages of really falling into a dark, it was like what I consider my dark period, dark depression. And I tried it and I didn't like it, but I was also drinking at the same time. So, you know, maybe that's why it didn't work. I didn't like the way it made my hands feel clammy. It made me feel awkward and uncomfortable. So after that, I decided I would never, ever use something like that again. But you know what? Maybe I should have given it a chance. Maybe I should have tried something else at the time. But, you know, I was too distracted with just wanting to party and have fun and drop out of college and drink. And that's what I was doing. And all the meanwhile, I was just telling myself that this is what I want to do. I am just going to party for the rest of my life. This is the meaning of life. Really, I really thought that just partying and drinking for the rest of my life was the way to go. And that didn't work out. And it's ridiculous because all I was doing was trying to cover up my own sense of purpose and happiness. I didn't know how to be happy. I think a lot of people don't know how to be happy. And some people, not me, but some people can go through that phase, and maybe they don't have the lack of brain chemistry that makes you an addict. Maybe they can go through that phase, they can do the party thing, and then they can say, you know what, this isn't it, you know, this isn't all there is to life, and move on. But not me, man. Mm-mm. I just kept trying to fill that hole, and fill that hole, and fill that hole. I really wish I didn't feel sad like I do right now. And I think sad's probably a better word than depression. But I do, you know, I have a little bit of sadness, this lingering sadness, and then little spurts of depression. And that's what makes recovery really hard, because you can get clean. You can get through the physical withdrawals. You can start doing things in your life again that maybe you didn't do, or pick up where you left off. And what? You still have to have this thing creeping around your mind? You know, nobody wants that. And that's why so many people end up going back out again, including myself. And because you get tired. It's exhausting. It's exhausting. You just want this thing to leave you the hell alone. And it won't leave you alone. But I won't leave it alone. Not this time. Not this time. I'm not going to give up, no. There's an expression that you hear in the 12-step program. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle happens. And the purpose of this is to say, just keep going a little bit longer. Go one more hour, go one more day, and then it might happen. But if you decide, I can't take it anymore, it's too much work, and you go out, you may have just missed that opportunity. You may have just missed it. It might have been the next day where that complete obsession lifts. I don't want to miss out on that. I think that I was close in the past. I think the first time I came into the rooms, I actually had that. But, you know, it can creep back in again. It happens. And I never talked about it. And that's why I'm talking about it now. I'm forcing myself to talk about it in various ways, because if I don't talk about it, then it's like I put a little secret compartment in my brain. And every time I don't think about something, I'm filling that little compartment. And eventually the compartment gets so packed and so full, the door just comes flying open. It can't take any more. And there I go again. So, that's really all I have. That's about it, I think, for episode 3. I just need to get that out. Thank you for listening. I have some family visiting today, so I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, I've talked about love and the people that I love. And there's that one person in my life that I love more than anything. And like I wrote in the journal, I have to get through my own defects. And it's hard because I think sometimes people, they don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to hear the words, because that doesn't mean anything at this point. They want to see the changes, but I want the changes to happen, the psychological and character defects to change. I want that happening faster, but it is not going to happen fast. And it's hard, and that's another thing that drags you down, because you just want it to change. Because you want to reconnect with that person. I want to reconnect with that person. And it's happening. I feel it's happening. But it's slow. It's really, really slow. But because I can feel little changes in myself occurring, I'm being extremely cautious this time. Optimistically cautious. But I can feel those little changes. And so I'm not going to force them. I'm just going to let them happen. I'm not going to try to control it like I've done before. And I really want to spend the rest of my life with this person. I think you only get one chance in life to have that one big, great love. And this is my last chance to make it whole again. So, thank you again for listening. This is A with the Spiritual Bazaar. And until next time, be well, everybody.